Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here, Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, and you can tell your friends no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. We thought we would spend a little bit of time as a food gang to talk about making these salsas that you can either put on grilled bread to serve to people on the side of a meal or to open the meal as a kind of appetizer, or to use these salsas on top of fish or chicken or duck or whatever it is you want, whatever your protein base is coming off the grill if you're doing grilling. This just feels so summery to do this. Does everybody like salsa?
I love
every
salsa.
Every kind.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
Every kind. Yeah. And I agree. I think you should make them. I don't think you should buy them, especially in the summer. I can understand in the middle of the winter, but in the summer you should make salsas.
Yeah, but if you're in a pinch, don't look at us. Don't feel guilty. Just go ahead and just buy whatever you want. But Chris is right. They will
this
taste
time of
better.
Year,
he's
though.
A chef. What
no,
do you want?
No, it's this time of year.
He has people.
I do
he
have
has people.
People. Yeah, I should preface that. It's much easier when you say, I'm going to go to a party. I need a salsa. You chop the peppers. You chop the tomatoes. Get me the cilantro. Yeah. And I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. Maybe
much easier.
From now on the show, I'm going to begin every recipe by saying, ask your sous chef.
That's right.
So here we go. Let's start with, I was looking around a little bit, and so these are not mine, the ones that I'm going to be talking about, because I remembered that I had saved this, and so I pulled it off the shelf. And it's from a book called Great Party Dips by Peggy Fallon. So I don't want to take credit for these, but this is a recipe for salsa fresca. This is so simple because you get vine-ripened tomatoes and you dice them up and chop some white onion, some fresh cilantro, and put in just a teaspoon or whatever amount you want of chopped jalapeno, and then a few tablespoons of freshly squeezed lime juice. Just mix it all together, the tomatoes, the onion, the cilantro, the jalapeno, and the lime juice. There you go. You can put that on grilled bread. You could put it on top of a steak, top of grilled chicken. You could do whatever you want with it. That is your most basic top thing. And by the way, when I grill the bread to put something like this on, I do butter it and then put on my salsa because, it's delicious. All right, who's got one?
I'll throw one in.
Okay.
And I'll throw one in that you don't have to chop a lot of stuff. And this is a good one that I use for a quickie. And it's corn and black bean salsa.
That is mine.
Wow.
That is mine.
Throw down.
Let's compare.
Because I'm a lazy guy. I use canned black beans, which I just take out of the can and give a quick rinse. Then I don't even cook the corn. I just take corn. I take it out of the husk. And then I just cut the kernels off the cob, throw that in. I mince up one onion, small onion, a little bit of jalapeno, some fresh cilantro, lime juice. And then I put just a touch of olive oil in it. And that's it.
What do you put it on, Chris?
Fish. Like you said,
on top of fish.
Like grilling a piece of salmon. And then as the salmon comes off the grill, while it's still nice and hot, just spoon this with the juice that sort of gets onto the bottom right over the top of the fish, maybe on a bed of greens.
I don't put oil, onion, or jalapeno.
Okay, tell us what you do, Lori.
I do the corn, the black beans in the can, tomato, cilantro, and lime juice. And I put it on chips. Thank you.
Big
tortilla chips.
Throw down.
That sounds good. Both of them do, actually. That's wonderful. Jonathan.
Tostitos salsa from the middle of the grocery store.
Wow, of course he does.
Do you go
Tostitos scoops.
I like it that you represent Go Buy It because people are working in the summer and you have a few jars of this on the shelf in case you have surprise company. Just go get it and screw the lid off and there you go.
I have to ask though because from someone who does this, let's hear favorite brands because some are much better than others. What is your favorite brand?
Yeah, I get mine just in Stop and Shop by the deli over by where the fresh Moots is. Just comes in a plastic container.
Moots.
Yeah,
he called it Moots. That's my boy.
All right, I'm going to look the next time in the supermarket. I'm going to experiment.
Okay, here's one again from the Great Party Dips book. It's called Rockin' Moroccan Salsa. And it is a couple medium tomatoes that you chop up, chopped red onion this time, chopped fresh cilantro, extra virgin olive oil, just a tablespoon, some grated lemon zest. You mince up a couple of garlic cloves, a half a teaspoon of ground cumin, a quarter teaspoon of ground cinnamon, a quarter teaspoon of ground turmeric, a quarter teaspoon of sweet paprika, and an eighth of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper and a dash of salt. So those are all the Moroccan
really nice
flavors.
Wow.
And that turmeric, the cinnamon, and the cumin in particular are
good
supposed to be especially healthy. So that it's nice to have those in there. And in a small bowl, you combine the tomatoes, the onion, the red onion, cilantro, the olive oil, the lemon zest, the garlic, cumin, cinnamon, turmeric, paprika, all your spices, cayenne, salt. Toss it gently to mix it. Put it in a serving bowl. Cover it and let it stand at room temperature for about an hour, because that's what will make all those flavors meld together and work together. You can refrigerate it or serve it at room temperature. Depends. This is apparently good with baked pita chips or warm, fresh pita bread, with Indian papadums, which is that crispy thing that they serve at the beginning
those.
Of the meal in Indian restaurants, which hopefully they make
Indian,
and do not buy.
Indian Doritos.
But this would also be absolutely sensational scooped over lamb chops on the grill.
I got another one. This is the one I do when I have the grill going. So it's a grilled salsa. And what I do is I take about a half a dozen of tomatillas, you know, the green, like, tomato-like fruit that come in the little papery thing on the outside.
Yeah,
so take that papery layer off and then throw them right on the grill with nothing on them, and one avocado that I cut and I pit, and I put the cut side down on the grill as well. So I grill six tomatillas and one whole avocado, you know, cut in half and grilled. And grill them until they get nice and charred. And then they go in the food bowl of a food processor with a chopping blade with a half an onion, cilantro, lime juice, again, a little bit of olive oil, salt, and a jalapeno. And you just puree it until, and it's this brilliant green. It has this toasted flavor from the grilling of the tomatillas and the avocados. And again, just a great salsa to.
That sounds good.
It almost looks like a guacamole, kind of like a cross between salsa and guacamole. It's a great, simple, again, no chopping.
Do you use it like guacamole?
Yeah, you totally use it like guacamole. I don't put that on things, but that's a good one for chips.
Yeah.
Here's one that I do for, this is not from the book, but it's one that I do for lunch. And this is going to sound like, oh, I couldn't do this possibly. It's too expensive. But this is why it works, because it involves lobster.
Ooh.
You can get a very small lobster, actually, to feed a lot of people. You just chop it up fine, the meat chopped up fine. Because what you're going to do is grill bread and then brush it with either olive oil when you grill or put butter on it. I prefer to put butter on it. And then in a bowl, you're going to mix the lobster meat with corn, crispy bacon, and lime and diced avocado.
Ooh.
And a little bit of olive oil to give it
it's like a lobster
texture.
Salsa.
Mm. And it is a lobster salsa. You could add, you know, something like chives if you want, because I do like a little bit of onion in it. Then you just spoon it on the buttered
on the
grilled bread.
Yeah.
And that is the basis of your lunch. You know, you
a little
you,
salad on the side.
We actually just serve that and potato chips. Yeah. On the side for a Saturday lunch or Sunday brunch if people are coming over. And it doesn't cost a lot because you buy one lobster and you're chopping up. It's just a little bit of lobster on each one, but you've got that great lobstery flavor. You can do it with shrimp, too, the exact same way.
I like that. Thinking of different ingredients to put in salsa. It doesn't always have to be vegetables. It can be things like shrimp and lobster.
Well, how about a dessert salsa?
Ooh.
To put on pound cake or something.
Fresh like a fruit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a fruit kind of thing.
Yeah, like
I actually have one from the book that might work.
Well, let's hear that.
Well, see if you think it would. Mm-hmm. This is a what's called plantation pineapple chili salsa.
Oh.
And so it would be a little bit of spicy on the sweet pound cake, and I like that back and forth kind of thing.
As long as it's not blow your head off spice, it's a light spice, it would go great with
pound
cake.
Well, here's what it is. It's a ripe pineapple that you chop up. And red bell pepper, coarsely chopped cilantro, some scallions, fresh lime juice, and a little bit of jalapeno pepper chopped up, a touch of salt, and you just mix it all up together. Now, question is, what could that go on?
A biscuit.
A biscuit. But you change things. Like, instead of using cilantro, use fresh mint if you're going to do it with a dessert,
right?
I'm not
sure that would work.
I don't know either. I wouldn't put it on pound cake.
I wouldn't put it on pound cake.
No, you could, though, if you change the ingredients.
Could you put it on ice cream?
Ooh, I do like spice on my ice cream.
I might try it on ice cream. This hardly qualifies as an official salsa, but all year long I do this. I put it on absolutely everything. Sometimes when I get those 11 o'clock at night cravings, I'll go do this. We always have a jar of Kalamata olives in the refrigerator, or, you know, probably about 20 jars in the pantry. And we always have 2-3 packages of feta cheese in the basket in the refrigerator, and olive oil. And then if you can toss in anything you want, you could dice up some onion or scallions or whatever, and just crumble it all up together, chop everything together. You can throw in tomatoes if you want. And that goes on top of everything. I have it on crackers. I have it on toasted bread. I have it on shrimp that's either on the grill or has been sautéed in a pan for dinner at night with couscous. I mean, all year long, that is my – I never, ever tire of that Greek flavor. Okay, we have Gail Gand on the show. We're going to talk about great things for lunch. Oh, these recipes, including how to make your very own spring rolls, which are so delicious, it's nuts. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, "Now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. How lucky am I to work with him. Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol, the greatest crew on earth. And WNPR's content director is the amazing Jim Cutie. We thank you first and foremost for listening. Okay, here's what happened, everybody. I was recently in a Mexican neighborhood, and I wandered into a Walgreens drugstore, and I spotted this bag of Lay's potato chips sitting on the stand. And Chris, I know you, we bought, yes. And so in the bag is printed in both English and Spanish. And it said Lay's, and then it said Limon, L-I-M-O-N, Limon, okay. Which is lime. Yeah. And in fact, the bag, here it is. See this? It is green, lime-colored. These were, are, I say were because it is empty. These were lime potato chips, lime-flavored Lay's potato chips.
With salt on them,
clearly
too.
Sold in Latin countries. With salt, my sister is the one who talked to me, and she said, "Get those." I said, "No, I'm really trying to stay off potato chips." She said, "You have to try them." And so I did. And who knows? These are probably chemically created. I'm sure there's
who
no
cares?
Actual lime
but,
in here.
But
they are so beyond delicious that I can't even tell you. The best thing. I was so insane over these. Now all I want to do is go into Latin grocery stores
and
buy
lime.
These potato chips. They're better than anything, yeah, honestly.
They have so many flavors now. That is one I haven't tried. Isn't I try to pride myself every time I walk through the grocery store. I'm like, oh, look, sriracha. Oh, look, bacon and cheddar. Yeah.
Now, why don't the other non-Spanish countries have these. Anyone who tried these
would say, I want. Can't eat just one.
You know, lime tortillas, know, hint
yes,
of lime,
right.
Cilantro
mm-hmm.
tortillas. Yeah. This is
heaven.
So fantastic. L-I-M-O-N, Limon. Lay's potato chips. There
empty
you go.
Bag.
Empty bag. Of Lay's potato chips.
Just perfectly flattened.
Yeah, look at yeah. Like it was ironed.
It was like there were never any potato chips in it.
Looks like a little page from a book.
Mm-hmm. I did think, as I was on my way to out of this neighborhood,
that maybe
I should have stopped. No, I should have stopped and gotten
like
six of these.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. Let's get to This is for gluten-free eaters. Now, some people are doing it just because they generally feel better. Other people have the full-blown condition called celiacs and, you know, would be hospitalized practically from eating anything that is associated with wheat or barley or rye. So there's a huge crowd of people now who are eating gluten-free. And so this is great news because in downtown Brantford, near the Green, there's a restaurant called Home. And I guess somebody on staff is a gluten-free eater, and they have done a truly gluten-free, extensive menu. It's not like one or two things, as you see some places, which is very nice. But I mean a huge number of things. They have a gluten-free mac and cheese. They have gluten-free pastas. They have gluten-free bread, so rolls for no matter what sandwich kind of thing you want to do. They have a special gluten-free fryer for the French fries.
Sure.
So good for you, Jared Schulafond, at Home in Brantford, Connecticut. We just wanted to say that. Here is a new invention. You know, Chris Didden of East Hartford, Connecticut, has been bringing in some Australian wines and, you know, doing pretty well with them. And he said to me on the phone last night, we were talking, and he said, you know, I have this thing that I've invented, and I'd like you to look at this and tell me what you think. So he drops it off, and what he's done, he said he was sitting on the beach with his wife, and she looked over at one of those Capri Sun pouches that people drink juice out of. It's like a kind of an oval pouch. And she said, they were having wine, and she said, why can't you, you know, invent one of those for the wine? It would be so much easier. And he said, okay, I will. Well, look at this. He has done it. He has made this pouch. So this is called Spot Wine, and you can buy it, I think, in an 8-pack in the box. You know,
perfect.
There's like 8 of these. Or you can buy these individually. At least these are just coming onto the market in our broadcast region.
That is so cool.
It has a straw, uninflated, because I've had each one.
Another empty package.
Flat. Each one comes with a glass of wine. So about 6 ounces of wine. And it's called Spot Wine because the idea is you pick your spot. And this is black with a sort of yellow lime circle on it. And this is apparently a patented straw. You can see when you put the black straw into the spout on the side, the straw naturally curves so you reach the bottom of the pouch. Or you can just drink it straight out of this little nozzle that's right here that's sticking up enough so that you can drink it without looking weird. And there you go.
Varietals?
So this one, to start with, is a white wine that is from California. So it is a mixture. He said he tried 108 combinations. He's put them in front of 32 focus groups, women.
Huh.
That's the market. So it's $27 for the 8-pack and around $4 for this glass. And unopened, these last, I guess he says, about 12 months. The 8-pack is equal to about 2 bottles.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You'd be buying it at, you know, $13-$14 a bottle. So the grapes are Colombard, Viognier, and Chardonnay. All
Very
California
cool.
grapes. Spot wine.
That's a great idea.
Good for you,
idea.
Chris. Neat thing.
Yeah.
He has some kind of patent on something. And so I guess the
look for him on the beach this summer.
Yeah, picnics, outdoor picnics and stuff. Chris, we wish you luck with that. There is nothing more that we love on this show than finding producers of things, whether it's items like this, whether it's an actual food, a sauce, whatever it might be. Wine, spirits, a device to use in the kitchen. Don't be afraid to contact us here on the Food Schmooze to let us know, because what makes me, and I know my pals here, want to get up in the morning is to just spread the word about something great that we find. So just contact us at WNPR.org, or you can always talk with us on Facebook. I talked about Fine Cooking, and they did a whole thing on my new favorite, well, we'll say grain, I guess, but it's quinoa. I am crazy about quinoa. I love the idea that there's as much protein, because it's a complete protein, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the few grains that are.
It has a kind of nuttiness, but it's fairly neutral.
Yep.
I use it the way I think of pasta, which is a vehicle for whatever sauce I want to put on quinoa, and I do. So how about you? Have you gotten into it more?
I really like it. I like the chewiness of it. Here's what I don't know. I don't know how it ranks as far as carbs are concerned. And I am so super sensitive to carbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out how many carbs. Here's what we know about quinoa, besides that it tastes great. Fine Cooking did a little bit of a history, or a little bit of the biography of quinoa. And they said, if you live in the Andes, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Chile, this plant grows abundantly. It has been eaten continuously for 5,000 years. Mm. In fact, in Incan, the word quinoa means mother grain. It is not actually a grain, and I always thought it was a grain.
Interesting.
It's not like wheat or barley or corn or rye,
okay,
which is seed and fruit. Quinoa is just a seed. So it is. It's not a member of the grass family, and you know that's where most other grains come from.
Yeah.
It's more closely related to beets, spinach, and even tumbleweeds.
Wow!
But in the culinary world, we all think of it
as
a grain, even though technically it's not.
It's even sold with
like
the grains.
Tomatoes. Yeah, it's like tomatoes being a fruit.
Yeah.
You know, we don't think of it that way. We think of them as vegetables. So quinoa is gluten free. Mm-hmm. It is a powerhouse of nutrition. It's called a superfood. Now, by that they mean it's a complete protein. It contains all of the essential amino acids, a good source of minerals. If you were stuck on the island at sea, you would want
a big
bag of quinoa to wash up with you.
Yeah, because you could live on it.
Totally survive, you know. So,
and you said it best. It's so versatile. It's never ending what you can do with it, from salads to making pasta. We even make like a risotto kind of dish with it now because it is so versatile.
Now, Chris, this is so smart of you, because this is exactly what Fine Cooking did. They explained how to use quinoa and some mushrooms and make a risotto. And I've never thought of trying this. Okay. I wouldn't have thought, because in a way it almost pops open when you boil it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, would that absorb liquid the way risotto rice does, kind of roly rice, let's say? Mm-hmm. And yes, it does.
Sure.
Let's talk about quinoa and mushroom risotto. This is in the June-July issue of Fine Cooking magazine, the full recipe. But really what they've got is, you know, heating some butter in a sauté pan and then adding mushrooms and a little bit of salt. And you get those brown for a couple minutes. And then you throw in some scallions and garlic for another minute or so. They put in some snow peas. And then they boil the quinoa. They rinse it first. Chris and I don't do that. For about 2 minutes. And then you add wine and you cook that quinoa for about 30 seconds. And then you turn it down low and it cooks for about 15 minutes, the way you cook pasta.
Yeah.
And then you start stirring in the mushroom mixture with some more salt and pepper. And you add the mushrooms in and some cheese and parsley.
Yeah.
This quinoa acts, it absorbs just like, and you can make a very high protein risotto. Okay, Jonathan, what do we know about quinoa?
So 1 cup of cooked quinoa is 39 grams of carbs.
And
13% of your daily value.
13%. And how much protein?
8 grams.
Yeah, that's a lot.
16%.
Let's look and see how that compares to pasta, traditional pasta.
Okay, I'm going to make a guess. And I'm going to say it's going to be a good amount higher in the protein, but about the same in the carbs, because it is a carb.
All right. Well, Jonathan's looking this up right now.
Yeah, let's see how I did.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. 1 cup of cooked spaghetti, for instance.
Perfect.
Is 43 grams of carbs.
Wow. So, and how much was the quinoa?
36.
So, yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the protein's the same, 8 grams.
So I've been fooled.
Not technically, though.
Because it's a complete protein.
Yeah, so the amino acids is what makes it a superfood, right? So just because the protein is the same doesn't mean that you get the same amino acids in pasta that you do in quinoa. And that's what's important to your body. I mean, as far as like what your body needs to survive is those amino acids. So you're not going to get all the different amino acids in pasta like you do in quinoa.
Well, okay. So I'm still eating this grain. I don't care about the carbs. I just really, I like it. And I like it that it's a complete protein. And so I'm having it. I use
it in burgers.
She's like, I'm having it right now.
I'm going to try this risotto.
Like in a vegetable burger.
Yeah. I'm going to try this risotto thing. We sprinkle it on salads.
Yes.
You know, and I have, sometimes I'll just feel like a pasta, but I thought I was having higher protein, I have to say. So instead of a traditional pasta, I would sometimes just boil up some quinoa and feel superior.
But remember, you are, though. Superior. You are superior because you're getting all the amino acids. And I think that's the stuff that we really have trouble with thinking about, is that in meat, there's all your amino acids that you need to survive, right? In grains, you only get – in beans, you only get some of those amino acids. Even though the protein might be the same, you're not getting the right mix of amino acids. So your body is still lacking in things. And when you eat quinoa, you get all of the things your body needs, all the amino acids your body needs to survive.
And the quinoa is twice as much dietary fiber too, so it's a different kind of carbs.
Mm-hmm. So it's easier to process.
Well, I can't wait to try this quinoa mushroom risotto. As promised, we're going to talk about Gail Gand, the great Gail Gand, I call her. She's done a new book called Lunch. Great idea to do this. For me, lunch can be a throwaway meal until it's the weekend, and then I'm really thinking about doing something kind of fun. And she's quite creative in terms of what she makes for lunch, and a lot of it actually you could make for dinner. So we get to that in a second. One of the recipes that we decided to try and put up on the website are Gail's version of spring rolls. These spring roll wrappers you can get in any Asian market and sometimes in major supermarkets. And they're rice flour. They're Vietnamese usually, often made in Saigon. So that means they can work, if you check carefully, for people who are gluten-free eaters or gluten-sensitive eaters. So, Chris, let's talk about chopping up lots of vegetables and then making a great dipping sauce and rolling them in this wrapper like it's a cigar.
Yeah, and it's real simple. I mean, she uses some great vegetables. So she starts with cucumber, which I love. So you cut those into little strips. And then she uses grated carrot, bib lettuce. And then for the protein, she uses a little bit of roasted chicken shredded. So a perfect use if you had chicken for dinner last night.
Really? You just need – to make four rolls, you just need a cup of shredded chicken.
So just a little bit of chicken that's left over from last night and you're good to go. And then you take those vegetables with the chicken and you mix it with – lime juice, soy sauce. We use tamari if you're gluten-free, right? That's the difference. And honey and a little bit of sesame oil. So that's like your main part of the filling. And then you do bean sprouts, Thai basil, and you can use regular basil if you can't find Thai basil. Thai basil has a little bit of different flavor, but not much. And fresh mint.
And you buy a jarred chili sauce, which
is what we do. Dipping sauce, yep. Very easy.
It's available in most grocery stores.
Yep. And then in the Asia market, you get these rice papers. I always say they look like little, if you remember the old 45 records, they look like little discs, record discs.
Maybe, remember the small dinner plate? Remember when the dinner plate was small? It's about that size.
They're about 8 inches. And you can, I mean, it's fun because you can go to the Asian stores and like the one we have in Hartford called Adong. They have them even like the LP size, what I call, like they're like 12 or 14 inches. So you can make really big ones of these.
And right near our New Haven studio, we have the Hong Kong supermarket. And so we just walk a half a block away.
Yeah.
And these rice wrappers, they're round, are so thin. They're almost transparent. And you just put them in a little warm water for a few seconds.
30 seconds.
Yeah, and then take them out. And do you dry them?
Well, this is the cool thing, and this is, it takes practice, but this is the thing. You lay them out on a towel, so you don't have to technically dry them. You actually roll this on a kitchen towel. You don't want them to be totally dry when you roll, but that'll take a lot of that outside moisture on the outside of the roll away, and then you take your filling. So we take the mixed filling, right, the chicken vegetable filling, and you put a little bit of that on the rice paper, and then you put a little bit of bean sprout, your fresh herbs, and then you roll it up, and then fold in the sides and roll it like a cigar.
It is.
It's
and then
pretty
easy. You put it in the dipping sauce.
Oh.
And it is so delicious.
Yeah.
Essentially, if you're trying to get somebody to eat vegetables, this is the best way to do it. I mostly have had this with shrimp. Mm-hmm. And Chris, you were saying lobster. You've had it.
You know, at the restaurant, we do whatever's left over from the night before. Scallops, shrimp, chicken, pork. Chopped up, sure.
So anything that you want to chop up, you could put in the spring roll. If you want to go straight vegetarian, you could do that too. I once went into a restaurant called Montage in California, and I went every single day to the cafe at this hotel because they made a beautiful spring roll, just like the one we're talking about. And these are not hard to make. So we're going to talk with Gail Gann next about where this recipe of hers comes from. It couldn't be simpler. Shredded roast chicken. If you want to buy a rotisserie chicken and shred it up, go ahead. Some cucumber, carrot, bib lettuce, some bean sprouts. You probably got soy sauce in the house and sesame oil. Some lime juice, honey, these sheets of rice paper, and some basil leaves and fresh mint. You buy the chili sauce, red chili sauce, in the supermarket, and you are good to go. You've got a dipping sauce right there. You can serve it with anything else you want, or talk about the perfect lunch. I would love these for dinner.
Yeah, they're surprisingly light, actually. You know, you walk away, you don't feel overstuffed. They're perfect for lunch.
And so each of us had two, and they were good size. So I'm ready for these. Yeah. So Gail Gand, who's joining us next, we're going to talk with her about those Thai rolls. She's got a watermelon gazpacho. I want to talk about that. And baked kale chips.
Yum.
Oh, this is a sneaky way around potato chips. Yeah. Even my lime potato chips.
I bet you could do lime flavored potato chips.
Ooh. Okay. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Gail Gand is next. You can find the food, including her spring roll recipe, right now at foodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
My house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and tapes and grapes and a cake. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas tree. Come on to my house, and a pomegranate too. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and a pear and love your hair. Ah, come on to my house,
I just do this. I just let that play till she says the hairline because it's that middler. I mean, how is she the funniest person on earth? I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at Faith WNPR, FAITHWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search the Faith Middleton Show. Ah, I've been waiting for this, as we all have. Gail Gand is with us, and she has done a new cookbook. It's called Lunch. And we think this is a great idea. Lunch is often the overlooked meal, the one that you grab and go, except maybe on the weekends. It depends. This is an inspiring cookbook, I think. So, Gail Gand, welcome to the Food Schmooze.
Thank you so much. And thanks for all the compliments.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, baked kale chips. Let's start right off with this. Okay. Kale is now the amusing vegetable because everybody has it. I have to say, these baked kale chips are to die for. They're such a great cheat if you're somebody who likes potato chips.
They're great and crunchy, you know, and very, like, tactile. You get to pick them up. And even when you're making them, you sort of massage the olive oil into them so they get kind of shiny. A little bit of sea salt sprinkled over or kosher salt. And they're a great sort of crispy chip to travel with, you know, to just bring along with some cheese and cherry tomatoes for a nice lunch. Or you can put them in soup. You can use them as a condiment on things, or you can also kind of have them out on a table for a party. So they're a great addition to lunch.
And here we are. You have curly kale leaves and some extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper. Do you include the spine when you chop them up on the leaf, or do you take that out?
I actually pull the spine out, and sometimes I just do it with the scissors, I find is the easiest way. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to, you know, if you've got a thick spine, just cut a little bit of that off. then go ahead and start your toss and start your quick bake. And it's a really fast. You have to kind of watch them while they're in the oven. Everyone's oven's a little different, but I find, you know, 5 minutes is enough to dry them out and crispen them up.
So, Gail, I was in a restaurant on the Lower East Side. It's getting good reviews, and burst out laughing because the menu said massaged kale.
I think kale benefits from massaging for some reason. You know, because it's got sort of that bumpy surface, whenever you're using it, you massage in stuff to get it into those little crannies, those little nooks that are in kale, unless you've got the flat leaf kind. But last year we planted a lot of dinosaur kale, which is kind of a bumpy leaf. So I think that's why massaging is a good idea.
I didn't know how many kinds of kale we have out there. I generally see about one.
But any kind is fine. You know, kale is just a sort of magic vegetable lately. It, when you dress it in dressing, it doesn't wilt the way lettuces do, and it keeps for, you know, days and days in the fridge. And I just love these baked kale chips as sort of a way to get something crispy into your lunch without it being, you know, a carbohydrate or a starch.
For people who have issues about fat in cream cheese and one thing or another, this is an herbed yogurt dip. And I know what leads you, besides a health issue, is does something taste good? So this is Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, lemon juice, scallion, some parsley, garlic, chives, dried dill, salt and pepper.
It's basically an herb garden suspended in some really light dairy so that you've got a nice healthy dip to bring with you, either to pack for lunch with jicama sticks or if you wanted to, you know, just have it at home with some wedges of tortilla or cucumber in it. And it goes great, almost like the way you might use blue cheese dressing, say with, I do some chicken drumsticks in the book that have a chili sauce on them, kind of like buffalo wings, but drumstick size. So it's a nice cooling dip if you've got something spicy and hot to pair it with, but light, like you said, Greek yogurt, cottage cheese, lemon juice for a little spark of acid, and it's blended in a food processor, so you actually lose that bumpy texture of the cottage cheese, but it ends up sort of thickening the whole thing.
So you have your traditional gazpacho recipe. And by the way, this is Gail Gand. Her book is called Lunch. And the idea, we know you probably don't have this cookbook yet, and you certainly can see it and the spring roll recipe from the book that we've posted online. What we're trying to do, knowing you don't have the cookbook yet as you listen, is to give you ideas of flavor combinations so that if you want to, you see what you have in your shelf or in your refrigerator and you want to try things just as Gail does, or you might say to yourself, oh, that sounds good. Those recipes, I want to get my hands on those recipes. Recipes, and then go and get the book. That's what all this is always about. So,
well, you know, I was going to say when we were talking about the herb yogurt dip, you know, I give you a list of fresh and dried herbs that you can use, but feel free to look in your fridge and see, you know, oh, I've got some tarragon that I really need to use up, or, you know, geez, I just love the taste of cumin. Let me see if I can throw some of that in there. So there's a flexibility to the recipes here, no doubt.
I love cumin, so I'm so glad you said
that. I don't know why lately. There's the cumin pita chips in the book, and that's part of why. I just love cumin.
Yeah, so I'm going to get to your watermelon gazpacho. I almost chose those cumin pita chips, and then I thought, Faith, stop with the cumin. It's on the show so much. So go ahead, tell me how you make yours.
You toss in cumin and then bake them in the oven to crispen them up. So they're great, you know, to dip in anything or just to eat by themselves.
So good.
You could pile chicken salad on top of them. I give a whole chicken salad recipe, and it's like how to roast a chicken, how to poach a chicken, and then here's these chicken salads that you can make with it. So they're a great base for almost anything in the book. That pea garlic dip, which I know you didn't mark off to talk about, but it is outstanding. It's like a hummus. Like how you make hummus with chickpeas, but made with green peas, frozen peas. You thaw them, you throw them in a food processor with garlic, mint, olive oil, salt, and pepper, grind it up. It makes this bright green dip that's great with the cumin chips. You can also make like little hors d'oeuvres, like I do in the book, with a piece of smoked salmon or beef tenderloin on top, or just use it as a sandwich smear, like instead of mayo. Use this pea garlic dip as a way to, you know, as a condiment on a sandwich. It's absolutely delicious, but goes with the cumin chips too.
What a good idea for people who don't want to have dairy.
Yeah.
That's a great way to...
And it stays green for like 4 days. It's not like guacamole where it's brown the next day and you have to, you know, see if anyone's watching you as you skim off the brown and eat it, even though, it tastes good. It just doesn't look good. This stays green forever.
So, watermelon gazpacho.
It's a puree of watermelon cubes, pineapple chunks, which kind of keeps everything, again, I like a little bit of brightness or a little bit of acid in my flavors, so the pineapple is going to give it kind of a little bit of an acid bite, some salt and pepper, some tarragon, and then I've got garnishes of other vegetables, so yellow tomato, red tomato, little cubes of fennel for a real crunch, some seedless cucumber as well, and green apple, so pretty colors. Would be great on a buffet, you know, for a lunch party.
Mm-hmm. Right, here we go. We get to the spring rolls that we just enjoyed from your book. These are your Thai summer rolls, you call them. And I know you have cooked in Thailand. Where did you discover this recipe?
I actually learned it in Chicago. There's a big music festival in Chicago called Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
And I usually work my farmer friend's smoothie booth. And right next to our smoothie booth was a Thai food booth, and she was making summer rolls to order like crazy, if you can imagine. I mean, Lollapalooza is tens of thousands of people every day, and this woman was behind her booth making them by hand, and I'm like, here, let me help you, because she was falling behind. So she taught me how to make them. Easiest thing in the world, and really fast. You know, the hardest thing is probably just shredding the carrots and, you know, getting all that fresh veg ready. You toss it in a dressing that you make right in the bowl and lay that inside some soaked rice paper. You soak the rice paper like 30 seconds and then put in your fillings, roll them up, and they keep overnight. So it makes a great thing you can pack in your lunch to bring to work the next day. They're great.
And how easy for this recipe to be gluten-free? Because the spring rolls are rice flour, correct?
Right, it's rice flour, and you just soak them in warm water for like 30 seconds and then pull them out and lay them down like a crepe and then fill, you know, put the filling down the center. We've got some roasted chicken that's been shredded, cucumber, peeled carrots that's shredded, grated as well, some lettuce, bean sprouts, and then a little bit of Thai basil if you can get it, and mint leaves if you can get it, and you roll that up.
So the Thai basil isn't completely necessary. We can use regular basil, correct?
You could use regular basil, or you could leave it out altogether, but it does give that sort of authentic Thai flavor that you learn to love as you taste all their, you know, special herbs and spices they use in Thailand.
I want to get to, it's one of my favorite things, potato salad. And the second I saw that you'd done a recipe called loaded potato salad, I thought, let me just see what this is. So potatoes, of course, bacon, scallions, garlic, sharp cheddar cheese, mayonnaise, sour cream, or you can use yogurt, fresh chives, salt, and pepper. Now, that list just sounds great.
It's like a loaded baked potato, but in a salad is sort of the idea. So, you know, potato salad that's been dressed up a little bit. So it's got sour cream or yogurt, chives, some cheese, scallions. Or, you know, it's a real summery kind of dish, I think.
This is Gail Gand, who I know generally as a baker, one of the greatest bakers, and she has done this, a book called Lunch. Is it because of your kids, Gail?
You know, it's two things. My family are all musicians, so they always work at night, and I'm a chef, so often are working at night. So to throw a dinner party for my family, I can't get them to show up. They're at sound check, they're at a gig. So I started having lunch parties because they could come over during the day, and we call dinner parties the daunting dinner party. Lunch is so great. It's light, it's fast, it's an hour and a half. People have places to go. They don't stay at your house too long.
Genius.
It's, you know, one glass of wine versus, you know, taking keys away from people because they overserved themselves. But also, I was part of Michelle Obama's Chefs Move to School initiative, where she asked chefs to mentor a school to improve school lunches.
Yeah.
And I did that at Deerfield High School in Deerfield, Illinois, near where I live, where my son was starting as a freshman, so I could spy on him. And I went into the schools, and I worked with the lunch lady to, you know, get the fryers turned off on Fridays, and I also used food to teach classes. So I taught French with food. I taught physics classes by doing recipes for meringues. I taught outdoor adventure classes. And then I also gave cooking demonstrations at the PTO to give parents ideas of things they can make for lunch to pack better lunches for their kids.
What were some of your ideas?
Well, you know, there's a recipe in there for the Copperwell noodles.
Yeah.
You saw that one. That was one. This is a sauce that you can make a big batch of, and the morning that you're packing your lunch, you just toss it with some cold pasta, some shredded chicken, even frozen edamame, which will keep the dish cold while it's, you know, coming up to temp while they have it in their hot little lunch boxes. So a nice noodle toss with high protein. It's got chicken and edamame. You can even use whole wheat pasta if you're looking to work some whole grains into your kids or your own lunches. So that was one of the dishes I would demonstrate, hand out the recipe, and try to get parents on board to not only pack better lunches for their kids, but for themselves, too.
And did the kids go for it?
Oh, yeah, they do. They totally respond to it. It's more sort of the old school staff that's used to, you know, how food's been the last 20 years, that it's the hardest on them. Because they just are kind of set in their ways, and they're afraid, you know, that the kids will not go for it. But the kids love it.
That's very good to hear. Very good to hear. Chocolate pudding in a jar. I thought, let's get to dessert. You're so great with dessert. Heavy cream, salt, bittersweet chocolate that you chop up, some egg yolks, and sugar. It couldn't be simpler. And how does it come together? Because you serve it in those little mason jars.
Right. Well, you can, you know, put it in almost any container, but if you put it in a mason jar, you can throw a lid on it, and then it's portable if you're, you know, bringing a picnic with, or you're packing it, you know, in someone's lunch for them. Really, it's just cooked on the stove, so nothing fancy. You're just heating up the cream with a little bit of the salt. Once it's heated, add the chocolate, and the heat from the cream will melt that chopped chocolate. Then you're adding the yolks, whisking those in, and heating it one more time just to get the thickening power out of the yolks with the sugar, and then pouring it into your little whatever container you decide is what you're going to show off.
We're all rocking in our chairs.
I love the mason jar idea, like, because kids like that too, right?
It's one of the best chocolate puddings I've ever had. I actually served it. I was doing a welcome dinner for the president of China when Mayor Daley was in office in Chicago. Small dinner for 500 people. I was trying to do something Asian for the president of China, so I was doing like lychees and pineapple and ginger and all these sort of exotic, you know, what we think of as Eastern flavors. And at the last minute, they say, well, you know, Maggie Daley, Mayor Daley's wife, loves chocolate, so you got to have something chocolate. So this was the, I served this chocolate pudding with salted caramel sauce and little hot chocolate chip cookies.
Yum.
So that was the American
side
of the dish.
And did the Chinese president have the chocolate?
He tasted it. It was a very foreign sort of flavor for him. You know, they don't really even have dairy in China. So
yeah.
A lot of the, you know, my lexicon that I use is, you know, completely foreign textures and flavors. So I needed to sort of change my approach. But he did taste everything, and he bowed many, many times to me and said thank you.
That,
signed my chef coat.
He did. I was going to say,
very
what
cool.
Pressure that is to prepare a meal for the president of another country using their menu. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if you're saying, let me show you what American food can be.
Right. No, I was, you know, you want them to feel comfortable and welcome. I mean, it was a welcome dinner in Chicago. And so we were trying to think of, you know, it's, we don't want to alienate him. We want him to feel welcome. And there was a large, I think out of the 500, 125 people at the dinner were born in China or Chinese descent. And so it was the first large dinner I'd ever done where we could serve tea. Like, normally you just serve coffee, and tea is kind of an afterthought. I'm a tea drinker, so I was like, oh, great, can we have proper tea yet?
Oh, that's fun, and so you didn't have to do coffee.
We did coffee as well, but we got to do, like, loose tea, you know, done right. It was really nice for me.
Well, I can't wait to try your sparkling strawberry lime lemonade. That has just everything in it. It's so good. So lime and chopped strawberries, a little bit of sugar, lemon juice, and some chilled lime seltzer. That's good for grown-ups and kids alike.
It's fun to make these lemonades. They're so easy, and you can see it's, you know, there's five ingredients. But it brings together really fresh ingredients. It's so simple to make, but you can do some variations. And I used lime seltzer water to bring in the lime flavor versus, you know, having to squeeze a lot of them necessarily.
Well, Gail, you've gotten me excited about lunch, not just as an opportunity for itself, but the way you've started to use it as an entertainment spot instead of dinner all the time when people are really exhausted.
I'm totally
doing
it from now on.
Isn't this great?
Dinner's like expensive, and I always have to hire a sitter to be with my kids, but my kids pop down anyway. And with dinner, you have to be like the chef, the dishwasher, the server. Lunch is a little more casual.
You can put it on a paper plate.
Yeah, if you did a buffet, people would serve themselves. You know, I'm in the restaurant business. I have a restaurant, Spritzburger, in Chicago, and also opened True, my fancy pants fine dining restaurant, like 15 years ago. So I've done all that, and I feel like if you're going to entertain at home, it should really be enjoyable, and this is a way to make it easy and enjoyable.
I love that. Thank you so much, Gail.
Sure, thank you so much for having me on.
Take care. See you
and
soon.
Bye, gang.
All right. Bye-bye. Gail Gann's cookbook is called Lunch.
The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wine, easy cocktails that we feature at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.